Our playgrounds and parks must be safe. And there's no more excuse, and we don't need to do what we do to get into an airport in order to make our playgrounds and parks safe. It's part of what I would describe as an urban agenda. It's kind of scary right now when people keep asking, okay, with the finances the way they are, what can be cut, when really we have virtually no violence prevention expenditure right now at all. And I think it's a real opportunity for what I like to call cost-free prevention, for looking at where money's currently being spent and saying, how do we use those resources in a really different way? I think we have the promise of a new administration, and this new administration is a time to look to and frankly insist on a new urban agenda. And when I say urban agenda, it's because urban at times has come to mean underclass, urban has at times come to mean young people in struggle, and that applies not just for urban communities, but for urban, suburban, and rural. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about the Unity Project, which is a project we created precisely to create an urban agenda, to work with the largest cities in the United States and to strengthen their response to violence prevention, to provide a comprehensive and sustainable approach, because I've been doing violence prevention now for, I'd say, 25 or 30 years. We had a big burst of interest perhaps 15 or 20 years ago. We saw enormous improvements, significant policy changes, and they did not sustain. Some of the funders moved on, the efforts that were engaged in were not fully established, and this time I hope to say we're all in it for good. I know I'm not speaking to a group of people here learning, I know I'm speaking to a group of very experienced advocates, and together we're really going to make a difference. Cities need new strategies rooted in prevention. Cities spend so much of their money and in fact are so identified with violence in many cases, but not with violence prevention. We need to make sure that our cities are safe, healthy, and thriving. So Unity is a project. It started out with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We're also supported by the California Wellness Foundation. In addition to Prevention Institute, we have Harvard School of Public Health, represented by Deborah Prothro-Stith and others, UCLA School of Public Health, the Injury Prevention Center, represented by my colleague here, Billy Weiss. Rachel Davis in the back there is the director of the Unity Project, and we have, I'm happy to see, some members of our steering committee as well. Our national consortium is 500 people. This was one of the earliest magazine covers of kind of the recent coverage of violence prevention. It's actually from 1993. It was the first one that really emphasized the impact of violence on very, very young children with the bullet holes in the lunchbox. In the bottom right-hand corner, it says, the most pressing children's issue is not daycare, healthcare, or education. It's control of violent crime. I wish I could have edited that for them and written the most pressing children's problem today is prevention of violence, and that involves fully healthcare, childcare, and education. They're all parts of the same thing. We can't do them separately. This was a Sports Illustrated magazine article just a couple of years after that about kids killing kids for sneakers. It raises the whole question of whether violence is senseless, and at the same time, how do we make sense of it? What does it mean? What sense do we make to eliminate it? And sadly, you know, perhaps 20 years later, this is another Sports Illustrated article. We can't keep going in jumps of 20 years without making changes. So this recent article, How Dreams Die, and how the dreams of 20 years ago have died, and how people are dying, we need to make a difference. And didn't just want to show you these pictures without a picture of hope. melancholy hope this is, because this is quilt squares woven together by people in Oakland and Richmond in memory of relatives of theirs. This chart about Chris, and I know it may be hard to read from the back, but this chart about Chris is really important for two reasons. I'll mention the second first, which is that it was developed by the Justice Department under Janet Reno for a Safe Child forum that was held to really tell the story of opportunity. And Chris is someone who we would describe as a heinous offender. How could Chris do this? What was he thinking? What kind of animal is he? And yet when we look back, we see before this heinous offense, 80 encounters, and probably lots of things not documented, 80 opportunities where we as a society failed. 80 expenditures from our criminal justice system. Opportunities for prevention if we focus in the right direction. And I mentioned that this is not only a striking slide, but that it was prepared by Janet Reno and her staff, because it's very important, because we have an opportunity now to insist and ensure that the next Justice Department in the next administration says that all the huge resource spent in this country on violence should be spent in a context that says prevention first. And that simple principle means we will have enough resource, we will have enough strategy, and we can start to save lives. And so this then is a square from that quilt, Stop the Killing. And that is, for me, every time I see it, the commitment and the reminder of what we must do. So these are the activities of unity, assessments, you know, to try and understand what cities need, connecting cities with one another, providing training, providing tools, giving consultation about what works in different cities, and highlighting, lifting up what works. How do we do framing? How do we effectively make the case for violence when so often the mayor is held accountable after some kind of extreme act, and the question they're asked is, what do you do right now? Don't tell me prevention, don't tell me long term. So how do we frame the prevention in a right now perspective for people who we know are running for re-election every couple of years? And also, unity says we not need both local strategies for cities and a national strategy where we insist on change on a national level, that the resources are aligned in different ways, and that we start to build this notion that I really like to call an urban agenda. I'm not going to share much from you of this notion of making the case, because I think many people here know it, you know, just how large a cause of death violence is. But one point I will highlight in red, because it's important for us to make this case with our colleagues, is violence increases the risk of other health outcomes. We're involved at Prevention Institute in a major initiative right now with most of the leading foundations in the country working on nutrition and physical activity and chronic disease prevention. And in community after community after community, the community members are coming back and saying, we can't walk, we can't shop, it's not safe. We must be safe. How do we make our environment safe? And it's an opportunity to say, we have some approaches, we have some answers, we must work together, we must build a movement. We did an assessment, this was very interesting, and Billy led that assessment, and we did telephone interviews. We chose 15 of the nation's 45 largest cities, and we talked to the mayor, the police chief, the public health director, and the school superintendent. And this is useful information, and I think it may be not only interesting, but might be something you can use in your communities. Clearly that youth violence was recognized by these people as a serious issue, but with responses not seen as effective or adequate. Very few cities and very few of the respondents reported any significant use of primary prevention, stopping violence before it occurred. and they lack the shared knowledge of what the resources are. More importantly, most cities lack the comprehensive strategy, and everyone seemed to look to law enforcement and criminal justice for the answers. You talk to law enforcement and criminal justice, and they say, well, our job is not prevention. We deal with it after the fact, and yet that's where the prevention solutions were looked for, public health not included. And public health not included because it doesn't play a role. Public health not included because public health leaders, for the most part, say we don't get funding, it's not something we do. And public health not included because public health in most states is at the county level, which is different from the cities, and the counties and cities are fighting over property tax, not working together. This is far too serious to allow that. But this is what's most important. The cities with the greatest coordinated approach had the lowest rates of violence. When we work together, it has an impact. So we've been developing a roadmap. You know, if you're working in a little school, you might say, what's the program we should use? Should we do a conflict resolution program? Should we do one mentoring program? But I think what Barbara has said very, very clearly is we need whole strategies. And so the question then, of course, what is the whole strategy? So we've been putting together this 9-part roadmap to lay out the different elements in terms of an urban agenda. And it comes very simply to what partners do we need, what does the prevention look like, and how do we do it? And these up here are the 9 levels. I won't go to it in detail. But as we thought about it, we brought together city representatives. You probably recognize the leading back of the head in the front, because that's, I believe, Adewale Troutman, who's sitting with us here. Is that your head in the front there, Adewale? Who knows? But it's good to see it there. And when we talked with that group, we started to identify best practices that cities could share with one another, how to make the case, how do we engage a youth voice, where does the federal partnership fit in, what is the bully pulpit. Those, of course, are just examples. But we talked about primary, secondary, tertiary prevention, and Deborah had an experience in Philadelphia with the young people. Anyone here from Philadelphia? And so the whole notion, thank you so much for this, throw out this primary, secondary, tertiary, let's use real words, up front, in the thick, and aftermath. And that's been a let's talk real contribution to violence prevention. A lot of strategies prioritized by our city representatives that really make sense, and they go back to the initial clipping where we said prevention is after school program, prevention is quality education, and so on and so forth. I want to give you an example of that because I love it. We often talk about risk factors and resilience factors, and we bring together, nevertheless, the usual suspects. Well, we all know that literacy is a key factor in violence prevention. And in the city of Salinas, they started to say, wait a minute, if literacy is a key factor, what do we do? And so the head of the library joined us. And the first thing she did in Salinas is she said, where are their literacy skills needed? And they did this in English and in Spanish, the two predominant languages. And where do we currently have our literacy training? And how do we ensure quality literacy training in every neighborhood where there are lower literacy rates? And they started to move their volunteers around and create momentum. Now, the new head of the library said to me a few weeks ago, I don't get it. We insist that young children bring identification in order to tell us whether they can get a library card. This is nonsense. And so she gave a library card to every child in the school. The first week after she gave the library card to every child, the number of books taken out of the library went up 8 times. The next week, she eliminated fines. This is a 1-year experiment. She said, do we really want someone to be embarrassed because they don't have a quarter or because they forgot to bring their book back? Is that the best way to encourage people to read? Reading is critical. Now, reading not only is critical, reading is violence prevention. We're talking about new and coherent partnerships. Just an example. But the nice thing about this person, who's now the head of the Salinas Library, is she used to be the president of the American Library Association. So I said to her, please, don't do this for Salinas. Do this for the United States. And that's something I think we can all help to work together on. In the thick strategies identified, such as mentoring, you'll be happy to know Barbara, of course, identified. Aftermath strategies, critical as well, including reentry strategies, mental health strategies, made it right to the top of the list. And we created a framework, and I want to read this all to you because I think it's so critical, so valuable. Please take a look at it and copy it and then modify it for the communities you're from. Violence is preventable, and all violence prevention is local. We start with and honor what's working. Unity is a method of transmitting what successes people are having, not of rebuilding or starting again. Great respect for diversity, and prevention is not containment. Prevention is not suppression. We are all, and not just we are all, but everyone in our communities, we are all stakeholders, and it ain't gonna be fixed in 5 years or 10 years. We need a long-term effort. We need to insist that everyone understand that and sustain that. We don't have an AIDS director for 2 years. We have an AIDS director. We have a drug abuse prevention director. We need violence prevention in a sustained way. So please join us. Help us shape the national priorities and strategies. Participate in our consortium. You know, visit our website. It's about to be even better than it is now. If you can't find it, just go to preventioninstitute.org and you'll be able to find our violence prevention work. And of course, work locally and let's make the local and the national intermingle. Finally, this is part of the broader urban agenda. We think that right now, after a stimulus package for the banks, there needs to be another stimulus package. And the stimulus package, which I believe is going to come, and the number I hear bandied about is $150 billion. Now, the thing about prevention is prevention does exactly what a stimulus package needs to do. It gets the engine of the economy moving because health is more than $1 out of $6 in our gross domestic product. It does green and clean work, and it saves money in the long run. So we need to insist on an urban agenda. We need to insist that violence prevention is part of the urban agenda. We need to move the money from suppression to prevention. Cost-free prevention, and we need it now. I'm happy to say I feel somewhat optimistic that we're on the move if we move together. Thank you all very much.